Wonderful to see everybody out this evening. Always great to come together to study, to worship. I'm so thankful for, again, the brethren extending the opportunity for me to be here with them. And I'm thankful for all the visitors that have taken the time aside to come out, to be here, to encourage the brethren that worship here, and to come and to study God's Word also. It's just always encouraging as we can come together and strengthen our fellowship in the Lord. This week, as we go throughout a series of lessons, we're focused on weathering the storm. Of course, it's a mindset of a spiritual storm, of spiritual battles that we face from day to day, and making sure that we are continuously fighting that good fight, weathering through that storm so that that day comes that we'll have that home in heaven. This evening, the title of the lesson is "The Storm We Bring on Ourselves." And the mindset of the lesson is the fact that sometimes we don't even have to go through a storm if we can just make the right decisions. We can choose to just escape a storm by not getting into the storm. For instance, a lot of people choose, when it's bad weather outside, to simply stay at home. They're not going to get out in that storm. You can choose that. Me, myself, personally, there's certain storms I don't want to have to face. And so I'm never going to buy a house that's near the ocean. I don't want to face where you have to board up the windows and wait for big waves and then come back and try to take care of that. I don't want to do that. I'll never have to face one of those kind of storms if I don't choose to live where those things happen. And spiritually, as we live our lives here on earth and we go through it from day to day, we can escape certain storms by simply making the right decisions in our life. Just as we talked last night, being properly prepared for the storm. And sometimes that means choosing being in a place where it's not going to happen. Now, I understand, I want to make this clear real quick, though, a side point for my first point here, is that some storms happen without any explanation. That sometimes that just happens. We don't understand why it happens. Sometimes we look at the forecast, we look up in the sky, and it's clear blue, but all of a sudden, we got some bad weather that happens. And that happens in our lives spiritually also, that sometimes we just can't explain why this is happening to me. So I'm not saying in this lesson that you can avoid all storms. But I am saying we can't avoid some. Job's a good example, I believe. Job chapter 1, verse 1, if you will, it says, "There was a man in the land. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil." Here is a good man. A man who feared the Lord. A man who was upright in what he had done. Who was blameless. Made sacrifices for his children. And then as you read throughout the rest of this first chapter, Satan takes the challenge and he goes forth and takes everything from him. You look at verses 13 through 22, he loses all his children. And then you read the entire rest of the book and it's about him trying to figure out why this happened to him. His friends had some ideas that maybe he had sinned, he had done wrong. But truly, there wasn't a good reason to sit here that Job could come up with to understand why this happened to him. Why he had to go through this trial and this suffering and trying to guess right and wrong on what to do in such a situation. Another example we could use, if you open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And look with me in verse 21 as we talk about our Lord and Savior. 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 21 it says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, and when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live righteous by those stripes who you were healed." And so Jesus, again, he's one who was right in the sight of God, who had never sinned, who was blameless, and yet Satan tempted him.
Satan tried him. Satan rose other men up to accuse him falsely. There's no cause for one who all he had done in his whole life was help others, to show love and kindness, to push people to do what is right, and to sacrifice himself so that others could have life. And so again, there's no truth sitting here saying this is what caused this storm because you've done this. But understand, there's so many times that we end up being the reason that we get caught up in the storm. You end up choosing that as you've been warned that there are bad weathers coming, and you've been warned to stay at home, do not get out on the roads, and yet we ignore the warning and we go out anyway. The Lord has warned us throughout the Scriptures. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 23, Romans 6 and verse 23, there tells us, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And understand that it's, I believe there's a, going back to the garden, that we can add that physical death there, because they were cast out of the garden and they weren't allowed to partake of that tree of life no longer. But understand that spiritual death is what's going to lead to so much storms that we have to face as we live our lives here on earth, that when we get caught up in sin and we spiritually die, that means we have separated ourselves from our God, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yesterday we pointed out how He is our anchor, how He is our lighthouse, how He is the way that we can escape the storm. And when we sin, we cast that aside. And now we are not going to be able to survive through the storm. And the storm is going to be 100 times worse because of what we have done, because we have chosen to go the wrong way. In James chapter 4 and in verse 4, James chapter 4 and looking there and in verse 4, it says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And he speaks to the adulterers. The adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And so again, here we cause our own storms if you choose the world over God. If I'm sitting here and I'm making that decision myself, I choose to be part of this world. I choose sin. I choose to be an adulterer, adultery, a fornicator, to get caught up in drunkenness. I choose to go forth and continue to lust. I choose to continue to do wrong and evil things. Then you bring the storm on yourself and you say, God, I'm going to fight against you. And who's going to win that battle? Who's going to survive the storm that God can bring up on top of you? Who can go against the Lord? But it says when we sin and we choose that lifestyle, we choose to be enemies of our God. And John, 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 6. 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 6. 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 6. Here it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, He is the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so again, the choice is there. That you choose which way to walk. You get to choose whether or not you're going to walk in darkness or you're going to walk in light. Now understand, if you've had children and you got toys, they got their toys, as my kids love Legos, and you walk through the room in darkness, you're going to walk on those Legos, you're going to hurt your feet, and it's not going to go well. And if you go out in the storm and it's pitch black and your lights go out in your vehicle, you're not going to be able to stay on the road. And so if we go through our lives here on earth and we don't have the light of Christ in us and we choose to go down a path of darkness, we will not survive that storm. We choose to go down that path of darkness. We've chosen to enter into that storm. We got a choice. You don't always have to go through the storm. You don't have to go through these hardships. There is a choice. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 24. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 24. As it reads here, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Here's bringing out that point that you, if you're sitting here this evening and you're trying to balance your life with world and your faith in God, you're saying, I can balance it out. I can serve them both. I can enjoy the pleasures of the world and still be a Christian. It's saying you can't. And you are causing so much heartache in your soul. That you sit there and you're trying to figure out. And you're like, man, I want to keep one leg over here and one foot inside the building. And I want to be able to do this. But I know that I have to keep secrets from my brethren. And I want to be around them. But I don't want them to know that I go to church. You're causing your own heartaches. Sometimes we can avoid these storms if we just make the right decisions. Our actions can cause the storm to get worse. We're going to face battles. We're going to go through them. But our actions can cause the storm and can cause it to get worse in our lives. If you open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, if you'll turn along with me there. I want to read here starting in verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Here it brings out the points. The love of the world is not lined up with the love of God. And that if we sit there and we look at these points that it says, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. That if we are so caught up in me, myself, and I, and the desires of the flesh, that we get caught up in everything that I want to consume for myself. And the lust of the eye, that we get caught up in everything we see, I want that for myself. And so we get jealous and we covet after other people. We can't learn to be content. We can't learn to deny ourselves. Again, you're causing yourself to get caught up in some bad storms. You're going to get caught up in always hating other people because you think they got better things than you, rather than rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. And you get caught up in coveting, and so therefore you're going to start acting upon it, and you're going to do whatever you can to gain these things that are not yours. You're going to start forsaking the assembly. If you're not satisfied with doing all the work, you might end up choosing to steal it from somebody. You might start doing some illegal things to make that extra money. We cause our own storms if we allow the love of the world to take over our hearts. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 10. As it reads here, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from faith for in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Again, it's not saying that money in itself is evil. We know that everyone must work to provide for his own. He who does not do so is worse than an unbeliever. So understand, it's not saying money is evil. But the love of money. It gets caught up in saying, even already here, then it says there are those who have already forsaken their faith for a little bit of money. Our Lord was betrayed for a little bit of money. It can cause you to stray off. It can cause you to lose your faith. It can cause you to lose your relationship with your family because all you do is focus on this. And so therefore you're never home. You're never there with the family. Never taking care of them. Never spending time. The love of money can drive you crazy. And so if we can learn to not love money, to learn to be content with our life, not have to have the best of things, not always keeping up with the Joneses. We can avoid some storms. We can avoid some of the battles that Satan tries to use to pull others away. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 5, and look with me and in verse 28. It says, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Again, if we want to avoid making things any worse than they are, if we can learn to control our eyes, control our minds, we can avoid a whole lot. If we can learn that when someone walks by, you turn your head and you do not continue to stare. You don't get caught up in lusting. And of course, lusting alone here in the verse brings out the point that you've committed adultery in your heart. But think how it starts to work from there. If we do not learn to control ourselves, if we start to think that that's just okay to do, that it starts with lusting, then you go forth and you commit adultery. And then you go forth and now you cause a divorce. And then you split up the kids. And then you got to figure out how to live the rest of your life in that lifestyle. You've caused a huge storm to come into your life that could have been avoided. That didn't have to happen. That should not happen, and yet it happens so often today. We can avoid these things. They do not have to take place. They do not have to continue. In Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and looking there, and in verse 24. Matthew 25, and starting in verse 24, says, "Then he who had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed, and I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But the Lord, his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered. So you ought to have disposed the money with the bankers. And at the time I would have received back my own with interest. So to take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." He was too scared to act the way he knew he was supposed to, right? He understood, I'm supposed to do this. I know the master expects this from me. I know the master expects to come and receive more than what he already had when he left it with me. But because he was afraid, and because, again, it caught up in selfishness there, right? He's thinking of himself. He's thinking of, well, I may not make it. I may make a mistake. I may do wrong. I understand, we all stumble. We all fall short from time to time. But because he did nothing and he just hid it, now what he has already been taken away. And then he is cast out and into an eternal torment. I know it's a lake of fire that burns with brimstone, an eternal storm there that he's never going to get out of. That could be avoided if he simply done what he was supposed to do. He'd have acted on the knowledge that he already had. We can avoid storms. Look at with me a couple examples throughout the scriptures. A couple examples that we can see that because of their actions, it caused more heartache in their life. Turn along with me to Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1 and starting and in verse 1. Jonah chapter 1 and in verse 1. Says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish, and from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into go with them from the presence of the Lord. He's trying to flee. Verse 4 says, But the Lord sent out a great wind of the sea. And there was a mighty tempest of the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid. And every man cried out to his God and threw their cargo that was in the ship in the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down to the lowest parts of the ship, laying down fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." But then he knew why. When they woke him up, he says, "Well, it is my God." He knew why this had come upon him. Again, it's a storm that didn't have to happen. It didn't have to happen. Right? If he would have got on the ship and went straight to Nineveh, he'd been doing God's will. God wouldn't have physically made this storm come upon them. He would have had safe sailing trip. Men wouldn't have lost their cargo. And he would have done the work of the Lord. But he was again selfish in his own mindset. He thought he knew better. In his mindset, these people didn't have a right to be forgiven. And he knew that God was a graceful God. And he didn't want to warn them. We don't have to go through all the storms in life. Just because the Word of God says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," does not mean you have to sin each and every day. Doesn't mean you have to sin every week. Come on. Where's the Word of God say that? It doesn't say you have to sin every day or week or month. We don't have to continuously be falling in and making things worse in our lives. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Here are the children of Israel. It's a recapping what had taken place here as Moses is preparing them to enter into the land. And so Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 26, it says, "Nevertheless, you would not go up but rebel against the command of the Lord your God, and complain in your tents, and said, 'Because the Lord hates us, he brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our greater and taller. The people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there.'" They were scared. They were afraid. They would not go and fight. Jump down with me to verse 34. It says, "The Lord heard. And the Lord heard the sound of the words and was angry and took an oath, saying, 'Surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land of which I swore to give to your fathers.'" He's bringing out that they will not enter into the land. Jump down to verse 40. It says, "But as for you, turn and take your journey to the wilderness by the way of the sea. Then you answered and said to me, 'We've sinned against the Lord. We'll go up and fight.'" Wait. I don't want to go in the wilderness and have to suffer all this time. We'll go fight. But that's not how it ends up working out for them, is it? Picking back up there in verse 40, read that again. "But as for you, turn and take your journey, take the wilderness, the way of the Red Sea. Then you answered and said to me, 'We have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight, just as the Lord our God commanded us.' And when every one of you had girded his weapons of war, you were ready to go up in the mountain. And the Lord said to me, 'Tell them, do not go up nor fight, for I'm not among you, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, yet you would not listen, but rebelled against the command of the Lord, and presumptuously went up into the mountain, and the Amorites who dwelt in the mountain came against you and chased you as bees do, and drove you back from Seir to Hormah. Then you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not listen to your voice, nor give ear to you. So you remained in Kadesh many days according to the days that you spent there. A battle, a defeat that did not have to take place. Two occasions right there because they didn't listen twice. First, they were told to go up and fight. God was going to be with them. And after all, they've already experienced the hand of God, seeing the plagues that had come upon Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've already had a couple people come up against them, and they were able to survive. And they get to the land, and now they are discouraged, and they want to go back to Egypt. And God says, fine, you're going to just wander in the wilderness. All those people, except for Caleb and Joshua, that were of age, that didn't get to enter into this land. They could. But they refused to hear God, to obey and submit to Him. A storm that could have been avoided. They'd have been victorious. As you enter into Joshua and you see how they go into battle and they're able to fight one city after another. They're able to go up against Jericho and just march around the city and the walls are able to tumble down. That's what would have happened for them back here. They didn't listen to God. That's what can happen for us. We can survive and we can be strong and we can make it through to the next day and overcome these trials and not make some bad, worse temptations and struggles to fight. If we can remain faithful to the Lord, submit to Him, continue to wear the armor of God. David's another good example, 2 Samuel 12. We know that David had committed sin when he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Again, it started with lust. After he went up and he saw her, he could have just turned his head and said, you know what? I shouldn't be looking. And then he asked who she is, and he found out that she was a married woman. He said, well, I can't have her. He could have stopped there. But he went further. He committed adultery. And then after that, he had to try to lie and cover it up. That didn't work, and so it led to murder. You see how one thing leads to another. How if you tell one lie, then you got to tell another lie, and then ask to cover up with another lie. We just keep on building and making it worse on ourselves every time. We can avoid the storm. And better yet, a greater point that could be made on this is the fact that our children, all our children that are here, do not have to go through these storms if we would teach them. If we will make sure they are taught at home and make sure that they are taught in class and that they come and listen as they're here in worship, that they do not have to make the same mistakes that I have made, that you have made. If we're willing to make sure that they know what they need to do. Nowhere does it say you have to commit every sin. That you have to go and learn the hard way by making the mistake yourself. That happens, I know it does. But we don't always have to go through that. Our goal should be that we teach one another and we encourage each other to continue to stand strong and fight the good fight so that we do not have to fall into sin. We do not have to struggle to fight our way back, to gain other people's trust because we've broken it when we've cheated on someone, because when we have lied to somebody, and when we have stolen from them, and now no one trusts you. And now you struggle getting a job. Now you struggle having a good relationship. Now you struggle with your own family and friends. All storms which can be avoided. If we simply will put God first in our lives, continue faithfully in it, continue to put our minds on His Word, meditate on it, continue to pray and search the Scriptures, we can avoid the storm. Meaning we'll get through it. And so I want to extend the Lord's invitation this evening to any who need to obey the gospel. If there are any who are here today, maybe you've learned from others, seeing how they have tried to fight the weather, the storm, without God. But when they submitted to God and gave themselves over, how the burdens were washed off their shoulders. Now they could stand up straight, tall, knowing that God is on their side. We encourage you to do that this this evening to be baptized, to wash your sins away. If there's anything we can do for you, will you let it be known as we stand and sing?